Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Ever Merciful. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praises due to Allah, the Lord of all created things. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafi khalqillahi ajma'een. And may Allah raise the rank of and grant peace to the most noble of all creation, Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een. And likewise his family, members, and companions, all of them in entirety, amma ba'd. As for what follows, then we thank Allah Ta'ala, the one who has gathered us together here at Al-Masjid Al-Awwal for Al-Halqatul Ashira, the 10th session, session number 10, in the explanation of Surah Al-Hujurati, reading from the explanation, the tafsir of the great scholar, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And we are, of course, online with our brothers from Mirath English Radio from Saudi Arabia. May Allah ta'ala grant them success. And we are local here, and this is the evening preceding the 16th of Rabi' al-Awwal, the year 1437. And we have reached the statement of the author explaining the verse, أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا. And we'll read that now from our PDF, right under where it says, الْحَلْقَةُ الْعَاشِرَةُ, the 10th session. And in your books, what's the page, Abba Maryam? Page 55, from the printed transcripts of the lectures of the Shaykh. We begin reading the statement of Allah Ta'ala, أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا. Does one of you like to eat the flesh from his brother while he is dead? The flesh of his dead brother? فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. You would hate that. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ. So fear Allah. So be conscious of Allah. Now of course this verse comes, or this part of the verse is right after Allah's prohibition of backbiting. So backbiting here has been made similar to the eating of a person of the flesh of his brother while his brother is dead. Eating the dead flesh of his brother. The scholars have mentioned, because that is, that the backbitten person is similar to the dead person in his inability to respond. The dead person cannot respond to you, nor can the person who's absent when you are backbiting. The Shaykh says, At-taqwa yakthuru al-amru biha fil Qur'an al-Kareem. Piety, at-taqwa, piety, it is something mentioned a lot in the noble Qur'an. وَكَذَلِكَ فِي السُنَّةِ. And it has a lot of mention in the sunnah, the order to have taqwa. فَمَا هِيَ taqwa? Then what is this taqwa? أَلَّتِي يَكْثُرُ وُرُودُهَا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. That which is mentioned much in the book of Allah, wa ala lisani rasulillahi, and that which is also mentioned much upon the tongue of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, may Allah raise his rank and that of his family and grant them peace. Innaha kalimatun azima. It is a great, magnificent word. Innaha ta'ni, and it means al-wiqayata min adabillah, a protection, means to protect oneself from the punishment of Allah. وَتَكُونُ الْوِقَايَةُ مِنْ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْرَيْنِ. It is something, a form of protection against the punishment of Allah through two matters, through two things. الْأَمْرُ الْأَوَّلُ, the first matter, امْتِثَالُ أَوَامِرِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلُ. It is to fulfill the orders of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. بِأَنْ يَقُولَ الْقَائِلُ إِذَا سَمِعَ أَمْرَ اللَّهِ. And that is through the statement of a person if he hears of an order from Allah, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. He says, we have heard and we have obeyed. Meaning he implements what he is ordered to do. فَإِنَّ هَذَا هُوَ قَوْلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. This is what the statement of the believers is regarding the orders of Allah. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. Allah the Most High has said, إِنَّمَا كَانَ قَوْلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ ورسوله ليحكم بينهم أن يقولوا سمعنا وأطعنا. The only statement of believers when they are called to Allah and His Messenger to judge between them is that they say سمعنا وَأَطَعْنَا, that we hear and we obey. For example, I mentioned this verse to a brother who is arrogant, who was in this masjid, and wanted to make claims against other people in this masjid without any evidence. Except I claim that I have heard this individual say this. The individual he makes the claim against denies having said the evil statement. So I say, leave it now. That's the end of it. The Prophet ﷺ said, Al-bayyina ala al-mudda'i wal-yameenu ala man ankar. That's the verdict of the Messenger of Allah. The burden of proof is on the one who makes a claim against someone else. Right? And if someone wishes to reject a claim made against him without any evidence, all he needs to do is say, Wallahi, I denounce that or I reject that claim. One claim against another claim, no evidence presented. That's how a case ends. You make your claim against someone, he said a statement of offense in some way or another. The man says what? I never said that. Wallahi, I never said that. Do you have bayina? Do you have evidence? No. Drop the case. It's over. Al-bayina ala al-mudda'i. This is a practical example of you being called now in a judgment to apply what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has ruled in judgments. And then I said, say my brother, say sami'na wa ata'na. Say we have heard and we have obeyed. This is from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So I withdraw my claim against my brother. Say it now. He says, no, Allah knows I'm telling the truth. Allah knows you're telling the truth. Tayyib, take it with Allah in the hereafter. As for this dunya, al-bayyina al-mudda'i. You are required to bring the proof. That's it. You don't bring the proof now, and you've brought your claim up, and the person you're making the claim against has said, Wallahi, I never said that. It must be dropped. It's the verdict of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You don't drop it, you're refusing the verdict of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You're refusing to submit to the verdict of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you are not a believer in Islam. Why? إِنَّمَا كَانَ قَوْلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. The only statement of the believers when they are called to Allah and His Messenger, لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ, to judge between them, is what? أَنْ يَقُولُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. They say, we have heard and we have obeyed. وَلَا تَقُولُ, the Shaykh advises us here. Do not say, مَا الْفَرْقُ بَيْنَ كَذَا وَكَذَا, what's the difference between this and that? And he means here a specific kind of what's the difference question. Watch. He says, يعني, لِمَاذَا يَأْمُرُ اللَّهُ بِكَذَا وَلَا يَأْمُرُ بِكَذَا, why does Allah order this but He doesn't order that? فَمَثَلًا, here's a real example, practical example. فِي لُحُومِ الْإِبِلِ, camel meat. أَمَرَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَن نَتَوَضَّأَ مِن لُحُومِهَا. The Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, he ordered us to make wudu after eating that meat. The meat of camels. It's permissible to eat, right? And if you eat it, it's something that breaks the wudu. وَلِهَذَا كَانَ أَكْلُ لُحُمِ الْإِبِلِ نَاقِضًا لِلْوُضُوءِ. And thus, based on this, the eating of camel meat is something that breaks the wudu. The Shaykh said in the audio, نَاقِضًا بِالنَّصْبِ. It's خَبْرُ كَانَ. Correct your printings. That's a printing mistake. The Shaykh spoke with proper nahu. He said, نَاقِضًا مَنْسُوبًا لِلْوُضُوءِ عَلَى الْقَوْلِ الرَّاجِحِ. According to the correct opinion, من أقوال العلماء, of the statements of the scholars. فَلَا تَقُلْ, so now don't say, لِمَاذَا يَأْمُرُنَا بِالْوُضُوءِ مِنْ أَكْلِ لَحْمِ الْإِبِلِ, why has he ordered us to make wudu after eating camel's meat? وَلَا يَأْمُرُنَا بِالْوُضُوءِ مِنْ أَكْلِ لَحْمِ الْبَقَرِ, and he did not order us to make wudu after eating beef. مَا أَنَّ كُلًّا مِنْهُمَا كُلًّا, does it say كُلٌّ or كُلًّا? You just have kullun, huh? Kullan, alif with tanween. Ma anna kullan minhuma yusamma badana. Another correction here. This is what the Shaykh said. He said kullan because that's ismu inna or ismu anna. Ma anna kullan minhuma yusamma badana. While both are considered animals that you are to eat, animals of a certain type that you can eat. وَلَا تَقُلْ, and don't say, another example of what not to say. Meaning when you're told to make wudu from camel meat, don't say, why camels but not sheep? Why camels but not beef? Don't start sorting matters out like that, meaning that you must have the logical explanation, otherwise you refuse to follow what comes from the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, don't say, لِمَاذَا تُؤْمَرُ الْحَائِضُ بِقَضَاءِ شَهْرِ الصَّوْمِ. Why does the woman who menstruated is ordered to make up her fasting in the month of fasting? وَلَا تُؤْمَرُ بِقَضَاءِ الصَّلَاةِ. But she's not ordered to make up her salah. عَلَى سَبِيلَ التَّشْكِيكِ. In a way, you ask this question in a way to say, like, how is that valid? Or how is that logical? To cause doubt in the rulings of Allah Ta'ala, or to spread doubt about the rulings of Allah Ta'ala. وَلَكِنْ قُلْ سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. However, say, we have heard and we have obeyed. The Shaykh here is likely referring to the story of when a woman came to our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. And she asked our mother Aisha, why is it that Allah has ordered us to make up our days of fasting that we didn't make because we were on our menses? We have to make those up later, but we don't make up our salat. The logical stance is, salah is of higher importance than siyam in terms of obligations in Islam. Right? Salah is a higher, it's the imadud deen, it's the pillar of the deen. So if we've been ordered to make up our days from fasting because of hayd, because of menses, then why are we not ordered to make up our salawat while salah is a higher pillar? That's a logical argument, right? The problem here is this logical argument is entering into matters of ta'abbud. Matters of this is how Allah is to be worshipped. Aisha's answer to this woman was, أَحْرُورِيَّةٌ أَنْتِ. You a hururi? A hururi was the nisba ila hurura, a place where the first khawarij gathered. The very first khawarij of Ahl Bid'ah. The khawarij, right? Khawarij were known for what? Rejecting textual evidence and putting forth their intellect, like many tawa'if, like many groups from Ahlul Bid'ah of innovation. So this was a sign of innovation. And Aisha asked this woman, are you from those people? And she said, no, lakinni as'al, I'm just asking. So her answer was, because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam ordered us to make up our days of fasting, and he didn't order us to make up our salat that we missed. That's why. That's the answer to why. Because that's what was legislated in the deen. You could add to that with similar arguments. That's how Allah is worshipped. That's your correct answer. Because that's how Allah has legislated for us to worship Him. That's why. Leave your logic and leave it alone. Ali radiallahu anhu was reported to have said, had the deen been by logical process, then we would wipe over the bottoms of our socks for wudu and not the tops of the socks. So everything is not by logic in Islam. There are some times when Allah Ta'ala has given us ta'leelun aqli. He's given us a logical reason for something. He's given us a prohibition and told us why, what would happen if we continue in this matter. Right? Allah Ta'ala, for example, has told us, as the Shaykh is going to mention, about maysir, about gambling. How what? That the shaitan wishes to spread amongst you animosity and hatred using intoxicants and maysir and gambling. And to keep you away from the remembrance of Allah and to keep you away from salah. So that is some reason now, some logical reason that has been given to you behind the prohibition of alcohol and gambling. Very logical prohibition. It is not required that Allah Ta'ala inform you about why and every reason why for every prohibition. As a servant, you must have as your basic stance with your Lord that I am a servant, I am a slave, and Allah Ta'ala is my master. My relationship with Allah is ubudiyya. It is worship. It is the worship of a slave to his master. It is not a partnership where all things must be explained. Right? When you go into business with someone, then you expect an explanation for why your money is being used for something. This is a relationship of ubudiyya, of slavery and servitude. So many times you will submit and say, sami'na wa ata'na. The logical questions could go on forever. Why in every unit of salah is there one ruku' but two sujuds? Why? And why is the tashahhud every two rak'ats and not every rak'ah? Why? And why is Fajr only 2 rak'ats and Dhuhr is 4? Why? Logically explain it. Sami'na wa ata'ana. The salat have been legislated like that. 2 rak'ats and Fajr. Why does Fajr end with the rising of the sun? Why can't we pray Fajr until Dhuhr? Why? Because Allah legislated that Fajr begin at the crack of dawn and the time of Fajr end at sunrise. That's the legislated time that Allah Ta'ala has legislated. Why? Sami'na wa ata'ana. This is how Allah Ta'ala is to be worshipped. Al-amr al-thani. The second thing which makes up taqwa. Ijtinabu ma naha Allahu anhu. To stay away from the things that Allah has forbidden you from. The first thing is what? Performing the duties He has imposed upon you. Secondly is what? Staying away from the prohibition. Staying away from the matters He has forbidden you from. فَإِذَا نَهَى اللَّهُ عَنْ شَيْءٍ فَقُلْ فَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. If Allah has forbidden a matter, then say, we have heard and we have obeyed. وَاجْتَنَبْنَا. And we have shunned it. وَتَأَمَّلْ قَوْلَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فِي الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ. And think carefully about the statement of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, about intoxicants and gambling. وَالْأَنْصَابِ. And pedestals that the animals are slaughtered upon. والأزلام حيث قال. When he said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنْصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Oh, you who believe, intoxicants, gambling, altars that animals are slaughtered upon, and it can mean idols, and أَزْلَام, arrows shot for divinity, shot for luck and charm and so on. رِجِسٌ مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. It is filth from the work of a shaytan. فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ. So stay away from it. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. In hopes that you would be successful. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَنْ يُوقِعَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءَ فِي الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ. It is only that the shaytan wishes to plant between you animosity and hatred through intoxicants and gambling. وَيَسُدَّكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. And that he blocks you off from the remembrance of Allah. وَعَنِ الصَّلَاةِ. And he keeps you away from salat. فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. So then are you yet finished? That's from Surah Al-Ma'idah, the 90th and 91st verses. أي فَبَعْدَ هَذَا التَّبْصِيرِ وَالتَّبْيِينِ. And after this knowledge which gives you insight and clarification, هَلْ تَنْتَهُونَ أَمْ لَا. Are you going to stop now or not? وَهَذَا الْإِسْتِفْهَامُ بِمَعْنَى الْأَمْرِ. And this question, will you then stop, comes with the meaning of an order to stop. أي فَانْتَهُ. Meaning, stop, be finished with it. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ صَحَابَةُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. And that's why the companions, they said, after this verse was revealed, انتهينا, انتهينا. We are done. We are finished with this. With what? Alcohol, gambling, and those matters. فَصَارَتِ التَّقْوَى تَتَحَقَّقُ بِأَمْرَيْنِ. So then, taqwa is attained through two matters. الْأَوَّلُ امْتِثَالُ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ دُونَ تَرَدُّدِ. The first one is carrying out the orders of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, without any hesitation. وَثَانِي اجْتِنَابُ نَهْيِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ دُونَ تَرَدُّدٍ. The second matter is what? Abstaining from prohibited matters. Abstaining from what Allah has forbidden you from without any hesitation. يَقُولُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And then Allah the Mighty and Majestic says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَّابٌ رَحِيمٌ. Verily Allah is tawwab, constantly accepting the repentance of His servants. Rahimun, merciful. Who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rahim. He is Allah, the glorified and most high. Rahimun, the possessor of mercy, the bestower of mercy. Wahuwa Rahmanun, another name from mercy, that He is the ever merciful or the all merciful. قَدْ اجْتَمَعَ الْإِسْمَانِ فِي أَعْظَمِ سُورَةٍ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ فِي الْفَاتِحَةِ. These two names have come together in the greatest surah in the book of Allah, that is, Al-Fatiha. قَالَ الْعُلَمَاء. The scholars say, إِذَا ذُكِرَ الرَّحْمَنُ وَحْدَهُ. If الرَّحْمَنُ is mentioned by itself without الرَّحِيم, كَمَا فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اسْجُدُوا لِلرَّحْمَنِ قَالُوا وَمَا الرَّحْمَنِ. And when it is said to them, make sajda bow down in prostration to Ar-Rahman, the most merciful, they say, who is or what is Ar-Rahman? The meaning is Allah, the possessor of mercy. أَوْ ذُكِرَ الرَّحِيمُ وَحْدَهُ Or if the name Rahim is mentioned alone, meaning not with the name Ar-Rahman in the same passage, كَمَا فِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ تَوَّابٌ رَحِيمٌ The acceptor of repentance and the merciful one. فَمَعْنَاهُمَا وَاحِدٌ Then the meaning of the two words is the same, meaning Rahman, يعني أن الرحيم والرحمن ذو الرحمة الواسعة الشاملة That the name Rahim, as well as the name Rahman, they both denote the possessor, or they both have the meaning of the possessor of all-encompassing and exhaustive mercy. وَالرَّحْمَانُ إِذَا ذُكِرَ وَحْدَهُ كَذَلِكَ So if Ar-Rahman is mentioned alone, then it means ذو الرحمة الواسعة الشاملة. It means the possessor of all-encompassing, all-exhaustive mercy. أَمَّا إِذَا اجْتَمَعَا جَمِيعًا If they come together in one text, like in the Basmala, بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَانِ الرَّحِيمِ الرَّحْمَانِ and الرَّحِيمِ come together in one text. فَالرَّحْمَانُ بِاعْتِبَارِ الْوَصْفِ Then الرَّحْمَان is a description. It's the focus of the mercy is on the description. وَالرَّحِيمُ بِاعْتِبَارِ الْفِعْلِ And the word Rahim, the possessor of mercy, is the extender of mercy, the one who, yarham, the focus is on the fi'l, the action of extending mercy. يعني أنه عز وجل ذو رحمة واسعة That he, this means that he, the mighty and majestic, is the possessor of expansive mercy. وهو أيضا رحم وموسل الرحمة That he not only possesses the mercy as an attribute, but he delivers the mercy. And he gives the mercy إلى من يشاء من عباده to whomever he chooses from his servants. كما قال الله تعالى as Allah the Most High has said يعذب من يشاء ويرحم من يشاء وإليه تقلبون He punishes whomever he chooses. He has mercy on whomever he chooses and to him you shall return back. أسأل الله أن يعمني وجميع إخواننا المسلمين برحمته اللهم آمين He said, I ask Allah that He cover me with His mercy and all of our Muslim brothers with His mercy. وأن يجعلنا من دعاة الخير والإصلاح And that He make us from callers to goodness and rectification. إنه على كل شيء قدير Verily He is above all things with قدرة, with capability. The next verse, يا أيها الناس, O mankind, إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى We have created you from a male and a female. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا And we have made you شُعُوبًا, nations, and قَبَائِل, tribes, لِتَعَارَفُوا In order for you to get to know one another. الْخِطَابُ هُنَا مُصَدَّرٌ بِنِدَاءِ النَّاسِ عُمُومًا The address here begins with calling all people, not any group of people specifically. مَعَ أَنَّ أَوَّلَ السُّورَةِ وُجِّهَ الْخِطَابُ فِيهِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا This while, from the very beginning of this surah, the addresses have been made to who? الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا We've heard a lot of يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Now we're hearing يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ Not just, O people who have believed, but rather here, O mankind. وَسَبَبُ ذَلِكَ And the reason for that, أَنَّ هَذَا الْخِطَابَ فِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ مُوَجَّهٌ لِكُلِّ إِنسَانٍ That the address in this verse is made to each and every person, not just to the Muslims. لِأَنَّهُ يَقَعُ التَّفَاخُرُ بِالْأَنْسَابِ مِنْ كُلِّ إِنسَانٍ Because bragging about lineage is something that takes place amongst all people, Muslims and non-Muslims alike. فَيَقُولُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ So Allah the Mighty and Majestic says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ O mankind, وَالْخِطَابُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِ وَالْكَافِرِ And so the address is aimed at the believers and disbelievers. وَالْبَرِّ وَالْفَاجِرِ And to the pious and the wicked. إِنَّا خَلَقُنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى We have created you from a male and a female. مِنْ ذَكَرٍ هُوَ آدَمٍ From a male that is Adam. وَأُنْثَى هِيَ حَوَّى and a female that is Hawa, Adam's wife. هذا هو المشهور عند علماء التفسير. This is what is well known amongst the scholars of tafsir. وذهب بعضهم إلى أن المقصود بالذكر والأنثى هنا الجنس. And some of them have held the position that the intended meaning of the male and the female here are the kinds, the two genders. يعني أن بني آدم, that the sons of Adam خلقوا من هذا الجنس من ذكر وأنثى. They have been made of these two types, these two genders, male and female. وفي الآية دليل على أن الإنسان, in the ayah, there is evidence that mankind يتكون من أمه وأبيه. That he is made up of something from his mother and his father. أي يخلق من الأم والأب. He has been created from the mother and the father. ولا يعارض هذا قول الله تعالى. And this is not something that contradicts the statement of Allah the Most High. فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ مِمَّ خُلِقُ. Let mankind think about, contemplate, and look into what he's been created from. خُلِقَ مِمَّاءٍ دَافِقٍ. He has been created from a fluid that gushes forth. يَخْرُجُ مِنْ بَيْنِ السُّلْبِ وَالتَّرَائِبِ. It comes forth from between the backbone and the ribs. فَإِذَا قُلْنَا. If we were to say, إِنَّ الْمُرَادَ بِالسُّلْبِ سُلْبُ الرَّجُلِ, that the meaning of a sulb, the backbone, is the back of the man, وَالتَّرَائِبُ, تَرَائِبُ الْمَرْأَةِ, and the ribs is the ribs of the woman, فَلَا إِشْكَالَ, there's no problem here. From the sulb and the tara'ib, from the backbone of the man and the ribs of the woman, they're both together there. However, that's only one way to understand that verse from Surah At-Tariq. وَإِن قُلْنَا بِالْقَوْلِ الرَّاجِحِ, and if we held the position which is more correct, إِنَّ الصُّلْبَ وَتَرَائِبَ وَصْفَانِ لِلرَّجُلِ, that the backbone and the ribs is from the same person, from the man. The fluid of the man comes from this area, from between the backbone and the ribs. يَعْنِ الْمَاءُ الدَّافِقُ هُوَ مَاءُ الرَّجُلِ. Then the fluid that gushes forth is a reference of the fluid of the man, meaning a seminal ejaculation. أما المرأة فلا يكون ماءها دافقا. As for the woman, then her fluid is not something that gushes forth like that. وعلى هذا فيكون الإنسان مخلوقا. Upon this understanding, then the mankind is created من ماء الرجل, from the fluid of the man. From that verse only, from that verse in Surah At-Tariq. لكن, however, ماء الرجل وحده لا يكفي. The fluid of the man that gushes forth, that itself is of no benefit, meaning it's not enough. بَلْ لَا بُدَّ أَنْ يَتَصِلَ بِالْبُوَيْضَةِ. Rather, it must reach the egg for fertilization. أَلَّتِي يَفْرِزُهَا رَحِمُ الْمَرْأَةِ. That which is something specific to the womb of the woman. فَيَزْدَوِجُ هَذَا بِهَذَا. So then they both come together as two things, the sperm and the egg. فَيَكُونُ الْإِنسَانُ مَخْلُوقًا مِنَ الْأَمْرَيْنِ جَمِيعًا. And then a person is formed then from these two things together, مِنْ أَبِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ, from his father and from his mother. So upon both understandings, the creation of a person comes together from his father and his mother as well, male and female. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا. Then Allah says, He has made us شُعُوبًا, nations. أي صَيَّرْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا. He has made you in the lands as nations. وقبائل, and tribes. فَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى جَعَلَ بَنِي آدَمَ شُعُوبًا. So Allah has made the sons of Adam into nations. وَهُمْ أُصُولُ الْقَبَائِلِ. And a شَعَب, the word شَعَب, which is the singular of شُعُوب, it is أَصْلُ الْقَبَائِلِ. It is the larger group of people that makes up many tribes. So in an area you have a nation, and then in that nation you have the various tribes of people that are from that one nation. وَقَبَائِلُ وَهُمْ مَا دُونَ الشُّعُوبِ. So the قَبَائِل is the plural of قَبِيلَ, tribes. It is something smaller than a شَعَب, something smaller than a nation. فَمَثَلًا بَنُوا تَمِيمِ. The children or the descendants of Tamim, they're called Tamimi. So the Tamimiyun, they are يعتبرون شعبًا. They are a nation. Tamim is a شعب, like a larger tribe. You can say a nation, but perhaps it's a bit big of a word. A شعب here in this context means the major tribe that has sub-tribes under it. وَأَفْخَاذُ بَنِي تَمِيمٍ And the lesser tribes of the children of Tamim, they are what? They are قَبَائِل, they are tribes. الْمُتَفَرَّعُونَ مِنَ الْأَصْلِ They all come from the same larger شَعَب. يُسَمُّونَ قَبَائِل, they're called قَبِيلَس, they're called tribes. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِل And we have made you nations and tribes. هل الحكمة من هذا الجعل أن يتفاخر الناس بعضهم على بعض Is the wisdom behind that we have been made into nations and tribes, is the wisdom then that we would boast to each other or brag over each other about our nations and our tribes? فَيَقُولُ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ So this person here says, أَنَا مِنْ قُرَيْشِ He says, I'm from the Quraysh tribe. وَهَذَا يَقُولُ أَنَا مِنْ كَذَا أَنَا مِنْ كَذَا And he says, I'm from such and such and such and such tribe. Is that the meaning? لَيْسَ هَذَا الْمُرَادِ That is not the meaning. The reason the Shaykh says this is specifically because there are people amongst the Arabs that believe this verse, وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلٍ gives them their justification to focus so heavily in lineage that they care not about their brothers outside of certain tribes. And so they say, our tribe is the important thing in our area. This is the strongest tribe. We are the one that takes care of business. We are the one that does this. And they neglect the rights of people outside of the tribe. And when you ask them about this, they say, Allah says, وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلٍ Allah says, He has made us into nations and tribes. So the Shaykh is asking, is that why Allah has made us nations and tribes? So as to brag about ourselves and neglect the rights of others, is that why Allah made us tribes and nations? He says, لَيْسَ هَذَا الْمُرَادِ That's not why. Al-Murad al-Ta'aruf. Allah has made us into tribes and nations to get to know one another. And يعرف الناس بعضهم بعضا So that the people would come together and get to know each other. إذ لولا هذا الذي صيره الله عز وجل If it wasn't for this, the way Allah had spread the people out, ما عرف الإنسان من أي قبيلة هو A person would not know from what tribe he is from. What his lineage is. You have the word huwa in your print, Ya Nafisu. ما عرف الإنسان من أي قبيلة هو You just have the nothing, right? There's a سقط there. That's called a سقط, not a تصحيف. سقط. There's a missing word there. So you can add, if you're following along and you wish to correct your printed version, and this is the way of the Salaf in terms of reading the books of the ulama, that if there's a mistake, you make استدراك, you fix the mistake. It's called صيانة الكتاب. It's called correcting the book and making sure the book is proper. So the word huwa at the end of the sentence here has been left out of the printed version. It is found in the original sawt. It is found in the original madda sawtiyya, the original recordings of Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen. And the sentence needs it. We can't say, مَا عَرَفَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ أَيِّ قَبِيلَ That's the end of the sentence. We need, مِنْ أَيِّ قَبِيلَ هُوَ Which tribe he is from. So this is important that if we find a mistake, an omission, a saqat is an omission, tasheef is a typo, that we make these alterations and corrections to our books. Especially when it is a pure typo, a pure typographical error, meaning it's done by the people who produced the book, not that it's from the sheikh. The sheikh spoke with the original word huwa. وَلِهَذَا كَانَ مِنْ كَبَائِرِ الذُّنُوبِ And thus, from the major sins, أن ينتسب الإنسان إلى غير أبيه That a person ascribe himself to other than his father لأنه إذا انتسب إلى غير أبيه If a person were to say he's the son of a man who's not his father غير هذه الفطرة التي فطر الله الناس عليها Then he changes the natural state of the people and their relationships with each other that Allah has created them upon knowing their tribes and knowing their ancestry وَهِيَ أَنَّهُمْ شُعُوبٌ وَقَبَائِلٌ And it is that they are nations and tribes. مِنْ أَجَلِ التَّعَارُفِ So that they could get to know one another. فَيُقَالُ And so it would be said, هَذَا فُلَانِ ابْنُ فُلَانِ ابْنِ فُلَانِ This is so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. إِلَى آخِرِ الْجَدِ This one, فُلَانِ ابْنُ فُلَانِ ابْنِ فُلَانِ This is called ثُلَاثِ When there's three names. We say in the Arab lands, مَسْمُكَ الثُّلَاثِ مَسْمُكَ الرُّبَاعِ What's your name? The Thulathi name. Give me your name. The son of who? The son of who? That's Thulathi. My name, my father's name, my grandfather's name. Ruba'i. What's Ruba'i? My name, father, grandfather, great-grandfather. That's called Ruba'i. And you can say also Ruba'i is my name, my father's name, my grandfather's name, and then the name of my qabila, not necessarily my great-grandfather. So Fulan, Ibn Fulan, Ibn Fulan, Al-Fulani. That's Ruba'i. You've got four names basically there, right, for a person. What's amazing is America, we don't use this in the West. We don't have, you know, your name is not connected to your father, except through the family name only. And that can be done away with at a person's whim. If he wishes to change his family name, just goes and fills out a paper and changes his name from Smith to Johnson, whatever he chooses. It's nothing. And a woman, as soon as she gets married, she drops her father's family name and takes the family name of the man she marries. From the Western culture, not permissible in Islam. She cannot ascribe to other than her father. And she doesn't become from the tribe of that person because she married that man. That's a contract only. So do not, when you get married, ask your wife to change her last name to your last name. She is not from your family's history and ancestry. She has her own ancestry, which is preserved. So she still is Fulana bintu Fulan bin Fulan al-Fulaniya. She is so-and-so the daughter of such-and-such man, the son of her grandfather from such and such tribe. And she doesn't have your last name. She has her own tribal name. This is from the filth of the Western ideas when they would own a woman. They didn't have any rights for their women just 100 years ago or so. They would own their women. That when you married a woman, you own her and all of her property like a slave. She becomes your property. So then what? She doesn't have her own name because she takes your name. You own her now. And if she had a house and you married her, her house is now your house. The deed goes to you. You own her and her property. That's where that tradition comes from. The naming, the changing of the woman of her last name into the man's last name. Subhanallah. So then it's not permissible for a person to change his lineage, even though we have this idea lost in the West. This idea is totally lost in the West, and they don't care. They lost their sense of connection to their ancestors, totally. You find a person doesn't know the name of his grandfather even. You find some people don't know the name of their father. You find many people don't know the name of their grandfather. And they are not concerned at all. They just don't care. And nothing drives them to get to it. Nothing. They die without ever caring who their grandfather was. This is a sign that the fitrah, you know, has been polluted so much that people are not in connection with basic human instinct. Basic human instinct drives you to reach out and find out who your parents are, who your grandparents are, what your ancestors did, not for the sake of bragging about how great your people are and looking down on other people, but just for, what is it? Identity. I want to know who my people were. I want to know who my grandfather was. I want to know who my great-grandfather was. This kind of curiosity is something that comes from deep within, something from the fitrah. And that's why one of the five main things that Islam and all religions have preserved is a nasab, lineage, so that people do not make zina and have children out of wedlock and we don't know who the father of the child is and all of these matters happen. There is the natural inclination for a person to want his lineage to be preserved. Then Allah says, "Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum." The most noble of you with Allah is the most pious of you. The one with the most taqwa. After mentioning tribes and nations, it should be known that nobility, and we always hear about nasabun kareem, right? That this is a noble lineage. However, look at how Allah Ta'ala introduces lineage, ancestry, tribes, nations, and then directs us to something else. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The most noble of you is the one who has the most piety. لَيْسَ الْكَرَمْ أَنْ يَكُونُ الْإِنسَانُ مِنَ الْقَبِيلَةِ الْفُلَانِيَّةِ. It's not nobility that a person comes from such and such tribe. أَوْ مِنَ الشَّعْبِ الْفُلَانِي, or from such and such nation. الْكَرَمُ الْحَقِيقِيُّ النَّافِعُ هُوَ الْكَرَمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Nobility that is real, that is beneficial to you, it is your nobility with Allah. وَيَكُونُ بِالتَّقْوَى, and that is only accomplished with piety. فَكُلَّمَا كَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَتْقَى لِلَّهِ. Every time a person becomes more pious to Allah, more observant of the order of Allah, كان عند الله أكرم, he is with Allah more noble. Every act of piety, every increase in piety means more nobility with Allah. فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتَ أَن تَكُونَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَنِيمًا, if you wish to be a noble man in the sight of Allah or with Allah, فَعَلَيْكَ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, then upon you is to be conscious of Allah, observe your duty to Allah, to be pious to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. وَالتَّقْوَى كُلُّهَا الْخَيْرِ, taqwa, all of it is khayr, all of it is good. وَكُلُّهَا الْبَرَكَةِ, all of it is blessings. وَكُلُّهَا السَّعَادَةُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, and all of it is happiness and bliss in this life and the next life. Allah Ta'ala says, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, nay, the allies of Allah, they have no fear upon them, nor do they grieve. أَلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, and they are the people who have believed. وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ, and they were people of piety. They are people who behave with piety. وَمَا أَكْثَرَ مَا تَرِدُ عَلَى أَسْمَاعِنَا كَلِمَةُ التَّقْوَى, and how often it is that we hear with our ears the word taqwa, the word taqwa. وَلَيْسَ لَفْظًا يَجْرِي عَلَى الْأَلْسُنِ وَيَمُرُّ بِالْآذَانِ, it's not a word that should be just mentioned on the tongues and passed to our ears. بَلْ يَجِبُ أَن يَكُونَ لَفْظًا عَظِيمًا, it is obligatory that the word taqwa be a word that is of a magnificent status. مُوَقَّرًا, honored. مُعَظَّمًا, considered to be great. مُحْتَرَمًا, respected. وَيَفُوتُ الْإِنسَانُ مِنَ التَّقْوَى, and a person loses taqwa, or a person does not have an amount of taqwa, بِقَدَرِ مَا خَالَفَ فِيهِ أَمْرَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, based on the relationship of how much he does not, or how much he opposes the order of Allah, the Most High. His taqwa decreases by the level of his disobedience to the order of Allah, وَرَسُولِهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the order of his messenger, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. فَإِذَا رَأَيْنَا, if we saw, مَثَلًا إِنسَانًا, we saw, for example, a man, يَتَقَدَّمُ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ, that he goes forth to the masjid, وَيُصَلِّي مَعَ الْجَمَاعَةِ, and he prays in congregation, وَيَخْشَعُ فِي صَلَاتِهِ, and he has humility in his prayer, وَيُؤَدِّيهَا بِكُلِّ طَمَأْنِينَةٍ, and he offers it with every bit of tranquility, وَآخَرُ, and another man, بِالْعَكْسِ, the opposite description, يُصَلِّي فِي بَيْتِهِ, he prays in his house, وَيَقْتَصِرُ فِيهَا عَلَى الْوَاجِبِ, he does only what is required from him, فَالْأَوَّلُ أَتْقَى, the first case is a person of more piety, إِذَنْ فَهُوَ أَكْرَمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, then he is more noble with Allah. حَتَّى لَوْ كَانَ مَوْلًا مِنَ الْمَوَالِ, even if he was one of the freed slaves, meaning a person of no lineage. وَالْآخَرُ مِنْ أَرْفَعِ النَّاسِ نَسَبًا, and the other one was from the highest ranking lineages that the people consider to be high ranking lineages. فَإِنَّ الْأَتْقَى لِلَّهِ, then verily the one who is more pious with Allah, هُوَ الْأَكْرَمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, he is the one who is more noble with Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. وَكُلُّ إِنسَانٍ يُحِبُّ أَن يُحْظَى عِنْدَ السُّلْطَانِ فِي الدُّنْيَا, every person loves that he has a status that is recognized with the Sultan, with the leader in this life. Person would love that the leader of the larger area recognizes him and considers him to be important. People would love that. وَيَكُونُ أَقْرَبَ النَّاسِ إِلَيْهِ, and he would love to be one of the closest people to those who rule. فَكَيْفَ لَا نُحِبُّ أَن نَكُونَ أَقْرَبَ النَّاسِ إِلَى اللَّهِ, then how is it that we don't wish or love to become the closest of the people to Allah? وَأَكْرَمَهُمْ عِنْدَهُ, and the most noble of the people to him. الْمَسْأَلَةُ هَوَى وَشَيْطَانِ, the issue is a matter of desires being followed and the shaytan being obeyed. وَإِلَّا لَكَانَ الْأَمْرُ وَاضِحًا, without that, then the issue would be very clear. فَعَلَيْكَ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, so upon you is to have taqwa, the taqwa of Allah, the Mighty and the Majestic. لِتَنَالَ الْكَرَمَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, so that you could attain nobility with Allah. Then Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ, verily Allah is all-knowing and all-aware. بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ, about everything. لِأَنَّهُ هُنَا مُطْلَقٍ, because this description here is mutlaq, it's unrestricted. He's alim, not alimun bi ba'd al-umur, not alimun bima fi al-sudur, not alimun regarding what's in the chest, or alimun bi, you know, alimun all knowing about such and such matters. Rather here, he is alim, mutlaq, alimun, all knowing. وَلَمْ يُقَيِّدْ بِحَالٍ مِنَ الْأَحْوَالِ, it has not been restricted to any specific situation, meaning knowledge of any specific thing. خَبِيرٌ, all informed. خِبْرَ, we use that word for expertise or in-depth knowledge. هِيَ الْعِلْمُ بِبَوَاطِنِ الْأُمُورِ, that word خِبْرَ means in-depth knowledge about the sublime matters of knowledge, the thorough knowledge of something in and out. That's the meaning of الْخِبْرَ. وَالْعِلْمُ بِالظَّوَاهِرِ, and the word ilm, knowledge, is related to surface level or the outer understanding of something. لَا شَكَّ أَنَّهُ صِفَةُ مَدْحٍ وَكَمَالٍ, no doubt, it is a description of praise and a description of perfection for Allah Ta'ala. لَكِنَ الْعِلْمُ بِالْبَوَاطِنِ أَبْلَغُ, however, knowledge of things in and out, internally, externally, everything, that is of course more expansive, more expressive. فَيَكُونُ عَلِيمٌ بِالظَّوَاهِرِ, he is alim, all-knowing, about all apparent matters. وَخَبِيرٌ بِالْبَوَاطِنِ, and he is all-aware, that is regarding all hidden matters, and all things through and through, internal and external, all matters. فَإِذَا اجْتَمَعَ الْعِلْمُ وَالْخِبْرَةُ, so when these two terms are mentioned together, knowledge and khibra, being all-aware, or awareness, you could say, صار هذا أبلغ في الإحاطة, this becomes something more expressive in terms of the expansive nature of the awareness or the knowledge. And the Shaykh ends here saying, وَقَدْ يُقَالْ, it could also be said, إِنَّ الْخِبْرَةَ لَهَا مَعْنًا زَائِدٌ عَنِ الْعِلْمِ, that the word khibra, expertise or awareness or in-depth knowledge, has a meaning that is additional on top of just ilm, on top of just knowledge. لِأَنَّ الْخَبِيرَ عِنْدَ النَّاسِ هُوَ الْعَلِيمُ بِالشَّيْءِ الْحَاذِقُ فِيهِ, because the person who's khabir, and that would translate into an expert on something, or someone of expertise, according to the people, he is the one who is alimun بِالشَّيْءِ, he is knowledgeable about it, and حَاذِقْ فِيهِ, and he works well with it, he's very smart in how he deals with it, meaning he knows all about it, he's very wise in his dealings with it. بِخِلَافِ الْإِنسَانِ الَّذِي عِنْدُهُ عِلْمٌ فَقَضْ, in comparison to the one who's knowledgeable in a general way only, وَلَكِنْ لَيْسَ عِنْدُهُ حِذْقٌ, he doesn't have that in-depth knowledge and expertise and insight. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُسَمَّى خَبِيرًا, such a person is not called an expert or a person of expertise. فَعَلَى هَذَا, so based upon this distinction between the two words, يَكُونُ الْخَبِيرُ, then the name الخبير, the all-aware, مُتَضَمِّنًا, it carries لِمَعْنًا زَائِدًا, it carries an extra meaning على العلم, more than just knowledge. And Allah Ta'ala knows best, this is what Allah Ta'ala has made easy for us to read from the words of our great scholar, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. May Allah Ta'ala have an abundance of mercy upon him, and may he grant us some of his knowledge and understanding of the religion. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. And if there's an opportunity to have a mistake corrected or a concern or question addressed, we can do it at this time.
Two questions. When you mention aliman and alimun, what is the difference? Is it grammar different or different in the meaning?
Grammar difference. We're talking about aliman or alimun. Should it be mansubun or should it be marfu'un? That's an issue for qawa'id nahwiya.
And then when you said that the name, when you mentioned the name, so let me hear, what is the best way to name a child or a newborn?
Ahsan, su'al, mumtaz. Great question. How should we name people in the Western system of naming, where you have a first name, middle name, and last name? Huh? What I've arrived at, and I'm not saying or claiming that it's the best, but I use the middle name as a construction of two words. Ibn, and then the father's name. So, my first daughter was named Sumayya for her first name. Her middle name, what they need as a middle name, which when you travel overseas, amazingly enough, that middle name becomes the father's name. So whereas the middle name in American culture is arbitrary, it has no connection to anything, it's just pick a name. It is not the name of the father. And maybe sometimes it is, but usually it's not, right? So it's just an arbitrary name to help him be distinguished from another John Smith that would be in school. There's John Aaron Smith and John Michael Smith, right? That's how the middle name helps out there. And neither one of them are the sons of Aaron or Michael. They're just middle names picked arbitrarily so as to have like a second name. Yeah. So then what is the system? I named Sumayya. Sumayya, middle name, Bint Musa, with a dash between the two names. Bint Musa. The last name, the family name, Richardson. What do you think? Because it's only Thurathi. There is no fourth field. There is first, middle, last. So you have to use these three fields. This actually translates well when you go overseas and they take your name from the passport and put you into a Ruba'i name system, a four name system. There's the grandfather's name missing, but they'll be able to put Sumayya, Fulana, Bint Fulan, then Ali Fulan, the family name. Richardson, Smith, Moorfield, so and so. If anyone has a suggestion or an idea that works better in terms of preserving the ascription to the father, they can mention it. So you get the idea, first name, Fulan. Second name, Ibn Abihi. Ibn Fulan, Ism Abihi. So
then? Name would be the middle
name. Yeah, the father's name would be the. Add Ibn though. Add I-B-N. Right? And some of them try to Americanize it and they add Ben. B-E-N. Because that's what Ben is originally, right, in Hebrew? Ben is a reference to Ibn. It's not a name. Ben is not a name. It's that prefix for the father. You know, Ben so-and-so. Ben Baz. It means Ibn Baz, right? So, I don't know about using Ben. Maybe it's too close to the practice of the Jews. But use Ibn, I-B-N. Yeah? With a dash. Does anyone do that? Yeah, you've done that? Bint. Use Bint with a dash and the father's name for the middle name. So her middle name is Bint Nafis. Okay, those two words together with a dash or just two words? Two words. Okay, nice. Any problems with that anywhere? Yeah? They like it? Okay. So they say, Bint, what does this mean, Bint? And it's amazing. They ask, what does this mean, right? And then you tell them, it's the daughter of her father. Yeah, it's beautiful, right? MashaAllah. So we can adjust our practice as much as we can to make it fit within these parameters, and may Allah Ta'ala give us success. That's an excellent question. You opened up a nice issue for us. May Allah Ta'ala bless you for that.